So I guess it's not a big surprise. But the topic, what do you think the topic is? Rosh Hashanah. Why is that the topic? Because it's coming up. Believe it or not, it's hard to believe that it's almost Rosh Hashanah. It really is. Because this year Rosh Hashanah snuck up on me. I'm still on trying to get my feet back into this man. Start this man. Okay. But it actually is coming up. It's actually a week before Slichas, so I know it's almost Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we want to talk about Rosh Hashanah. So the big question is, what are you supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah? Right? Or before Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is a major day. Even though Yeshua doesn't have the yeshiva, that's like one of the pliyas atzumas, so that makes no sense. But Erev Rosh Hashanah in the Svarim is a major day. It says that the, that's why we have so much sichas in Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it's brought down, it's a special day. But what are you supposed to do? Erev Rosh Hashanah, Elul, which is almost over already. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tzaret Yimei Tshuva. So let's start with the easy. Now, I suspect that most of what I'm saying is a repeat of what I said last year and the year before. I don't really remember, but I assume so. So I apologize. But Rosh Hashanah remains the same. If we came up with different answers every year, we'd be in trouble. So the first thing on Rosh Hashanah we do most of the day is we daven. Right? So there's a big tumult about the davening and Rosh Hashanah. First of all, Chazal say you're not supposed to mention any aveiros on Rosh Hashanah because it's like giving ammunition to the satan. So Yom Adin, you're not supposed to be a tiftah pet of satan. There's a whole shaida whether when we say chatanu, I think of we say anyway. I think if we say avinu makein Rosh Hashanah, I think so. Right? We say avinu makein Rosh Hashanah. No, yes, maybe not. What? We do. So there's a shayla, they're the first Avinu Malkeinu in the beginning. The first one is Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. So the shayla, if you say it, some people say you don't say it. I think we say it. I just say whatever is in my machzer. But the ma'isa, you're not supposed to really mention that you did a chait. So one thing for sure, you do not say vidui, you do not say Hashem, forgive me for this aveira, for that aveira. Because you're not supposed to be pisco padasata. The question is that in the Nuzlach of Tfilah, we cannot, except for a few little places, like you throw in Zachreinu Lechayim, and the other few phrases, we almost don't ask for anything for ourselves. It's strange. So Yom Adin. So there's a famous Avudram. Avudram is a Rishon. And he says that the reason is because when we do Averis, we cause that we have to get punished in Olam Hazeh. It's better for them to get punished in Olam Hazeh so they shouldn't suffer in Olam Haba. But since Hashem loves us, so Imo Anochi Bitsara, so when Klai Yisrael suffers, feels pain, so on some, however that means, but Hashem also is in pain. And it says that for a person to only think about himself, his own pain, when he caused Hashem pain, is like tremendously selfish and chutzpah. And really, in Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be davening Hashem for Hashem's pain. And that's where the brachas that we have after Atah Kadosh, we say, that there should be a Kiddush Hashem in the world, that the Rishonim should be lost, there should be no Chiddush Hashem. So we're almost like davening for the Kavod Shamayim, for Hashem's pain, and we're like saying that we don't care about ourselves, we care about Hashem. Okay. So that's what the Avudram says. He says that was the Kavana of Chazal when they made up the Nusuch of Yom Rosh Hashanah. Frek Rav Yisrael Salahatir, a question, but today we don't feel that way because we're a bunch of lowlifes. It's gotten to us, and we care about ourselves much more about Hashem. So there's two answers. So the one answer is, okay, tough luck. You don't feel that way. But that's how Chazal made the Nusach HaTfilah. You can't argue with Chazal. Chazawar Misakin that you're not supposed to daven for yourself. It's chutzpah. You don't do that.
Is there tzad
saving
at that level?
No, I don't think so. Okay. The second answer is, you're right. We're different, and therefore we do have to daven for ourselves. So it's like most things in the world, it's a machlokes. So certain people say, isn't that how they were koveya? I went to the Kodo, Rabbi Singer spoke, he quoted his Rabbi Ravan Schechter, said that that's how Chazal were koveya, and you're not supposed to daven for yourself. But the Maisa, if you read the Sfarim of the Bawi Musar, Ufado, Rav Yisrael, Solanter's Derech, Kemat, they all say, not like that. I'm sorry to argue Rabbi Singer. But that's what they do. You know, Rabbi Singer's quoting Rav Aaron Schechter, which I'm sure is, he'd quote him right. I also heard people who said that. He's not the only one. I heard people that say that. But that's the Chazal were koveya, and that's the way it is, and it's too bad. But Rav Yisrael Solanter apparently said, it's not clear what Rabbi Yisrael maybe said try and work on reaching that madrega. But there's Talmidim who said that that wasn't really, as they said, that we should daven for ourselves. So they sort of made a compromise that in the Shemona Esrei, you have to follow the Nusach of a Chazal. You can't change the Nusach of the Shemona Esrei. So in the Nusach of the Shemona Esrei, we daven like Chazal or Koveya, where the Iker Tfida is not for ourselves, except for the places where you can sneak in yourself, where Chazal, where it fits in. But after Shemona Esrei, which means after you when you finish Shemona Esrei, you say, Avorech Chazal Yisrael B'Shalom, then you say Yudah Ratzon. Once you say Yudah Ratzon, that's considered after Shemona Esrei. Even though you're going to still say it, okay, Mitzur, and then you're going to say a second a Yehudah Ratzon. But that's once you say the first Yehudah Ratzon, it has a din of after Shemona Esrei. So the Bawi Musar say, Rosh Hashiva used to say this, Rabbi Yehuda Apian says it, the Mithra Yol says this, I think. All right, and there are different people say it, that the minig that they owe, that you're supposed to, and after the first Yehudah Ratzon, you bedavka, supposed to add your own fetus, because otherwise, it shows that you don't take Rosh Hashanah seriously. How can you believe that today is the Yom HaDin and not a daven for yourself? Yeah, but if you really believed in it, you would be chuspedek. In other words, they say it's a sign. It's not a sign that you don't not chuspedek. It's a sign that you don't really believe it's the Yom HaDin. That's what Rav Yisrael says. If you don't daven for yourself, that shows that you don't really take the Yom HaDin seriously.
So it should be shver on the other generations that didn't daven for themselves.
Because they didn't have, because they cared, because they really cared about Hashem more than they cared about themselves. So when you care about someone else more, you forget about yourself. But we, the Rabbi Yisrael, are saying that don't have that madrega. So the halacha changes. You have to be Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to be so radical. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said the halacha changes. He's not arguing. He's saying that the Avodraham was right in his door, where people really, if they worked on themselves, they cared more about Hashem than themselves. So they're not being, they're being honest. He says, when you daven, you have to be honest. Hashem knows what you're thinking. So they really didn't care about themselves. So they daven for what they want, and they really want. Let's say a person is sick and his child is sick. So if you really love your child, you don't daven for yourself, you daven for your child. So in the previous generation, when they cared about Hashem more than they cared about themselves, so they really didn't daven for themselves because they didn't care about themselves, because they had more important things to daven for. And that was what the Advodram was saying. But Rabbi Yisrael says that Bizman HaZeh, where that's not where we're holding. So if we don't daven for ourselves, it's not pshat that we care about Hashem. It's pshat is that we just don't makshiv Rosh Hashanah, and we don't view it as a Yom HaDin. And therefore, he says, if you view it as a Yom HaDin, of course you're going to care daven for yourself, because you do care for yourself. All right, you don't even give the $20 to Stucca. You don't.
So would it be like useless to have Kibana during those times?
What?
During the times where Mam L'Chashem, whatever, is it useless to have Kavana during that?
Not useless, I didn't say. I didn't say you don't. I said you care about yourself more than you care about Hashem. I didn't say you don't care anything about Hashem. I said you care about yourself more. So you can say that the reason why I'm not davening for myself is because it's blocked out by my tremendous concern for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because by us, we care about ourselves more than Hashem. Doesn't mean I don't care anything about Hashem. Can care about both, but if I care. Anyway, so the Maisa, since we are a Musa yeshiva, I think, I hope, and so we found the Musa approach, it's in the Siddur Agra brings it, few people bring it, that the Rabbi Yisrael, the Siddur Agra is really not from the Agra, the Siddur Agra is from Rabbi Yisrael's Talmud, those, you know Rabbi Yisrael Agra, the Perish and Siddur Agra is from the Talmud Rabbi Yisrael. So the Musa B'Shaita is, Halacha L'Maaseh, and Rishiva said this every year, that after the first year Ratzon, you bedavka should daven for yourself. You should daven for yourself, for your parents, for your brothers, for your sisters, for the people you know who need shidduchim. You know, you really get into it, not just your one line. It doesn't make a difference. As long as it was before the second year Ratzon, anywhere. After the first, before the second.
You can even mention Averus?
No. You do not. I say you don't mention Averus. That's a different gather. I don't know. You don't say I did Averus.
The person's supposed to talk English before the year up.
I don't know. That's a different shayat. That's a shayat all year, what language you want to talk. It's, it's always better if you can talk in Hebrew, because Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, has certain mystical segulas. And it's, the Malachim listen to Lachon Kodesh, I don't know, whatever it says. But if you can't, then you can talk in English. But it's always better to try and break your teeth in your broken Hebrew if you can. But if you can't, you can't.
Malachim understands broken Hebrew more than English?
Yeah. That's what it says somewhere, that Malachim don't understand. I don't remember anymore. But the Maiz, but that's nothing to do with the Rosh Hashanah. That's a day in all year. All year, what language you want to add? And I'm not prepared for a vow in all year.
Is this true by Stam Tehillos for Hashem during the year?
If nothing, no. It's because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. So if Rav Yisrael is saying that if it's a Yom HaDin and your life is at stake, so how can you not daven for your life? And if every single thing, it's not just your life, it's every single thing in the year is being judged on Rosh Hashanah, your health, your happiness, your parnasa, so every single thing. So why in the world would you not daven for it if you cared? So Rabbi Yisrael says you should daven explicitly. I should be healthy. My parents should be healthy. We should have parnasa. My sister should get a shidduch. My sister who's pregnant should have a healthy delivery. The baby should be born without any health issues. It should have a good, mentally should be healthy, a good personality. I should have siyata d'shmaya to be able to learn more. I should have the zisflesh to learn more. I should have a good chavruzlis. I should have a good rabbi. Yes, it's a very important daven that you should have a good rabbi. All these things. You daven. It could be you daven for gashmias and ruchnias. You can daven. I shouldn't speak lashon hara. You're not saying I speak lashon hara. We're not talking about praying. Nothing to do with anything.
You're saying that on Rosh Hashanah, it's not really so much for Hashem.
I didn't say that. You don't say things I didn't say when I'm holding water in my hand. When you're Mamlech Hashem, you can be Mamlech Hashem. There's a time and place for everything. I didn't say, of course, when you're Mamlech Hashem, you're Mamlech Hashem, fine. But in Shmona Esrei, when you're talking to Hashem and you're making bakoshes, so in the beginning of Shmona Esrei, also that's where you can't add your own thing. So you have kavana for whatever it says, and you do your best. But when you get to the end, after the Yiratzin, Rav Yisrael says, then you're allowed and supposed to, because it's a sign that you take it seriously, to daven for yourself, for your parents, for the people that are close to you. and you should be explicit. And you can daven for ruchnias and gashmias. You just don't mention averis. You don't say, Hashem, forgive me for the bittul Torah, but you say, Hashem, help me have hasmada. You don't say, forgive me for speaking lashon hara, but help me to control myself not to speak lashon hara. That's not pisah. Help me not to say things. I shouldn't by accident say things that hurt people's feelings. No. It's okay. He's not so, I don't say he's not so smart. He's very smart. I didn't say it all is more powerful. It's what you're supposed to do. Everything is, I don't know. I'm not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't tell you. But this is what your question is, what are you supposed to do in Rosh Hashanah? We might say we spend a long time davening. You see some people that daven these long, long Shmoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. So we always wonder, what are they doing? So this is the answer. Part of it is they're trying to say the first bracha Shmoneh Esrei with Kavanah, because the first bracha is Ma'akev. So they're trying to say Avos with Kavanah, which if you try and say with Kavanah, does take a while. There are places in the Shmoneh Esrei where you could get excited about yourself too. You say, Kadshenu b'mitzvah secha v'sein chalkenu b'tayra secha. You know, you can get into that too. But also, what's taking them so long is at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, they have a whole shopping list. You know, they don't just...
Some of the things on that shopping list are a little embarrassing.
Don't care. You're not talking to a Kosh Baruch Hu. What are you embarrassing?
You're asking
okay.
Can I get this new car? Or
you should decide what you think is important, because that might be silly to ask for the new car. You know, that's like, you're wasting your opportunity. You're wasting your audience with the king. And, you know, then the king will say, you know, you're supposed to ask for things that are meaningful. And you should hear that the new car is not meaningful.
Why does it make a difference? Just ask for everything.
Because you can't ask for everything. Because by definition, you'll be there for 16 hours. And second of all, because asking for non-meaningful things means Hashem sees in your heart, and that means that you consider this meaningful. Snapshot, I'm not asking for, and let me have a cookie every day after lunch, and let me have, when I come down, and I should get a soft-boiled egg, and it shouldn't be the day I went and there was none left when I went online. You know, there are certain things that are not so important in life, and you're not, and if you make them important, that's a tie against you. And then, if that's what you consider important, I'll give it to you. You don't want to waste your bakasha. So if you feel that having a new car is very meaningful for you, yeah, you should ask for it. But I don't think you should feel that way. But there are many things in life that are very meaningful, as I'm sure you know. And they are really much more meaningful than the car. There's health. And happiness, things that cause real happiness, feeling good about yourself, success in learning, getting ripe shot, having a good chavrusa, having friends, a lot of things that are that are meaningful, and it's not just for yourself. You have people that you know that have, and people have, the people, the more you know people, the more you know that other people, and many, many people have issues in life, serious issues. Everyone has some relative who needs a shidduch, and this person needs a child, and this person needs a refuah shalema, and this person needs a parnasa. There's a lot of tzorchei amcha merubim. Okay, anyway, we're getting late.
Can you explain to Hashem why you want?
You don't have to explain to Hashem why you want. Hashem understands. He's a smart person too. If you feel that it will help your kavana, because by you speaking it out, you'll get more into it, that could be. But you have to explain to Hashem. Okay, let me go further, please. Okay, that's the first half. Now, the second thing you have to do is tshuva. Now, this also, what can I do? I'm also an arguing rabbi singer. But I'm, but there's also that you must approach. According to this question is Rosh Hashanah a day for tshuva? So, According to that other approach, it's, you know, it's a day of being Mamlech Hashem, etc., etc. But according to the Bawi Musar, that Rosh Hashanah is one of the Asaras Yemei Tshuva, and therefore it's a prime day for Tshuva. And that is, now, we don't say Vidui, so you have to do Tshuva without saying Vidui. So you do Tshuva in your head. And you can do it, and I'm not saying in Shemona Esrei. And you're doing it, and Fakir, it's a good day. Rosh Hashanah is a very good day for Tshuva, because in order to do Tshuva, you have to be in the mood. There's a certain thing in life, in general, that some days are more, lend itself. You have to get into a spiritual mood, right? Some days you wake up and you're in this spiritual high, and some days you're not. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, obviously, even more so Yom Kippur, lends itself to be in the right mood. So a person, except Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there's not that much time. I really hold on Yom Kippur, a guy, if necessary, should go out in the middle of davening and miss a few of the kapitim and work on his tshuva. I think it's kedai. That's
how do you do tshuva if you can't mention your affairs?
You can think in your head on your
affairs. The thing is, you shouldn't say that out loud.
You don't verbalize them, yes. You can think in your head. So now let's try it. But obviously, Edel for sure is doing tshuva. Erev Rosh Hashanah for sure is doing tshuva. Rav Itzava says that the vort is that the sooner you start doing tshuva, the better off you are, because the sooner you get online, the better off you are. Okay. But according to the Bawi Musar, Rosh Hashanah is a prime day for tshuva. Okay. Now, how do you go about doing tshuva? So we did this last year, but let's just quickly go over it again. The yisayid of tshuva is charata and kabbalah awasim. Now, we spoke on the slichas that there's partial credit. But obviously, you don't try for partial credit, you pay for full credit. And the more closer you get to full credit, the better. You know, if you don't get 100%, you get 90%, but you don't try for 10, but you try for 100. So you have to try for kabbalah awasin and aziva sachet, which means that you're going to make a real kabbalah to stop. And it's really, as it's holding now, you really will stop. The fact that you get messed up later, that's not necessarily a riot, but you have to mamish make a kabbalah to stop. And you really, it's real. It's not just that you're just saying it, but you don't really mean it. You know, I can say anything, right? So therefore, all the Bawi Musar say that you're not supposed to do make a kabbalah. You know, now I'm going to say, kabbalahs don't just mean averis. Lack of mitzvahs are also kabbalahs. People don't know that. I don't know why, but it's pretty obvious, but they don't know that. There's, first of all, because lack of mitzvahs are also averis. If you're not learning, it's bittul Torah. Right? My father used to always say that the worst averis that people do in their lives are lack of mitzvahs. Very few people kill people. And very few people go ahead and do Avodah Zarah and get it. It's okay, but very few people are Mechal Shabbos. Okay, so sometimes you're accidentally, you turn on a light on Shabbos, you do this, you do that, okay. You speak Lashon Hara accidentally. But Bito Mitzvahs, you do all the time. You battle, you had an opportunity, you were sitting on the bus and you could have been Mekari of that guy and you could have changed his whole life and you didn't, and you weren't nice to him and you weren't friendly to him. So the opportunities that you wasted, you could have been the God of Ador, and instead you became a blacksmith. Imagine what you could have done if you would have been the God of Ador. See, those are your biggest tainus in a sense. So tshuva is not just because I did averus. Tshuva includes not doing mitzvahs. So here I'm going to do tshuva. So now what are you supposed to do? So somebody's going to say, okay, if I'm making a kabbalah, I have a problem. I don't daven Shmon Esrei with Kavana. I'm making a Kabbalah that I'm going to daven every word in Shmon Esrei from the beginning of end with Kavana. And I'm not going to daydream. And there's a problem I don't learn all day. I'm making Kabbalah. I'm going to come to Seder an hour before davening. And I'm going to learn straight till 12 o'clock at night. And then I'm going to go straight from the dorm into bed and go to sleep. Right? So it's a great Kabbalah. But what's wrong? He doesn't even mean it himself, because he knows he's not going to keep it, right? The guy knows he's not going to keep it. So that's not called Kabbalah Al Asad. I had a true story. It was very funny. There was in Israel, there was a guy who came to Israel with a whole library of non-kosher material. I don't remember if it was books or music. It was probably both. So, you know, we spoke to him about Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, you know, that it's really not right, then you should make a kabbalah. Okay, Rabbi, you convinced me. I'm gonna make a kabbalah, and I'm gonna take all my whole library and lock it up in my suitcase. And I said to him, why are you locking it up in your suitcase? Why don't you just take it and throw it in the garbage? He said, throw it in the garbage? Ridiculous. I know a week after Yom Hashanah, I'm going to want it again. So that's not a Kabbalah lesson, right? That's not tshuva. That's just fake. You think you're fooling Hashem. Hashem, I'm not going to want, trying to fake Hashem. So everyone says, from A to Z, that you have to, Kabbalah has to be mekabel, something that you can keep, which means usually something relatively small. Problem is, if you're only making a Kabbalah on something you can keep, which is relatively small, what's the problem? So how are you doing tshuva on the big ones? The Maisa, I don't want to do tshuva on the little things, I want to do tshuva on the big things. I got these big averis. She said, Yashikayach, you can do tshuva on the little things. You know, you can make a kabbalah that the yeshiva has ashayotzar signs next to all the bathrooms. So it's not any big deal. So you make a kabbalah that you're going to make your ashayotzar from reading it from one of the signs or get a sitter. That's a very easy kabbalah. They say, I heard that kabbalah from many people, especially even without the sign. But the yeshiva is very easy. But, okay, so I'll do tshuva, I'm making an asher yatzar. Maybe this way I'll pronounce all the words, right? Because when people say it by heart, they leave out half the words, even though they think they're saying it, but they leave out half the words, and they don't make a vana. So it is an inyan, but is that my biggest problem in life, that I don't say asher yatzar properly? I make a kabbalah. They say Rav Shach was very big on a kabbalah, they make a benching from a bencher. That's my biggest problem. So the answer, they say, is like this. That avada, you make a kabbalah to attack your biggest problem. So you have to sit and figure out what your biggest problems are and make a kabbalah to stop them. But your kabbalah is not that you're stopping them cold turkey. Your kabbalah is, you'll try stopping him cold turkey, because you're not allowed to say, I'm not even going to try. And you never know. Maybe you'll succeed. Never know. It's possible. I don't know if it's likely, but it's possible. But your kabbalah is, if I don't succeed right away, I'm going to work on it for the next 20 years until I get there. Right? That makes sense. I want to become a doctor. So you can't become a doctor overnight. You first got to get your high school diploma. Right? So you're doing the first step to become a doctor. So I'm making a kabbalah, I'm going to be a doctor, and I'm working on it. The Bali Musar quote Rav Yisrael, that's right, we had it last year, if you're in the Geder Oisei Tshuva, you're working, you're going there, you're on the road, you're striving. So therefore, what you got to do, and it's a little bit not so easy, it's a hard thing to do. First, you got to figure out what your main things you want to work on, your main life goals that you want to have in 20 years from now, where do you want to be? Right? That's the big question. Not tomorrow, in 20 years from now. And then you got to figure out, how do I take the first step? So if you're going to say in 20 years from now, I'm going to be a multimillionaire, okay, now I have the first step. I have to start making some money now so I can put some money in the stock market. And, you know, hopefully in 20 years, you'll add up. Right? It does happen. There are people that in 20 years, they become multimillionaires. They save every penny. But if your goal is not to be the, you know, so that's John and Rav Shach's Kabbalah. Because you say, my goal in 20 years is to daven Shmona Esrei, every word with Kavana. You gotta start with something small. So I'm gonna start with benching. I'm a sitter. I'm gonna start with Asha Yatzar from the sitter. And I get used to doing things with Kavana. And then next year, I'm gonna move up. And it's not just gonna be benching, it's gonna be benching and something else, you know, in the near and the year after. You don't have to figure out now all the 20 years. You know, that you, no one can do that. No one's smart enough to do that. But you figure out now what your goal is and what the first step is. And that is, and it has to be a first step that realistically you can keep and you're likely to keep. Not just you could keep, but you will keep. And that's very hard because first you have to decide what you want to be in 20 years. You have to figure out what your biggest problem is, which is not so easy to figure out. Then you have to figure out what's the first step, which is also not so easy. And then you have to figure out... Oh, thank you. I don't know what that was, but okay. You have to figure out how... what I can do now that's realistic that I can keep. Because many... including more than that, make the mistake of making kabbalas now that they make things that they can't keep. Can't keep, maybe they can, but they don't, because you have to realize that in a month from now you lose your inspiration or whatever. So you have to make a kabbalah that's something that you'll keep even when you lose your inspiration. Okay, anyway, so that's a lot of work. And that's why, I don't know if that's really true, but that's why the yeshiva has off Erev Rosh Hashanah, so you can sit for hours and make this cheshbonos. And then you're supposed to write it down, because if you don't write it down, it's almost worthless, because you won't remember. Because what happens is guys make their kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then they go home for vacation, and since they're on vacation, they don't think about it. And then 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they come back. They don't even remember what they were mekabel. Happens all the time. So at least when you write it down, first of all, the action of writing it down crystallizes the thoughts. Second of all, then you can take it out every week. You can have a Seder once a week to read over what you are mekabel, so that that's a way of making a commitment. Okay, anyway, that's answer number one. So the answer number one, that's a normal way of doing tshuva, is, again, three steps. Maybe there's more steps. First, you got to get yourself real motivated. That's really the first step. Then you got to figure out where you want to be in 20 years from now, what your main problems are, what your main goals are. Then you got to figure out a first step that's realistic. There's two functions. That's a first step, and it's something that I think I will do, not just could, but will do. Okay. There is a second answer in the Svarim, in the Bavli Musar, to this question. How can I go ahead if, let's say, I'm doing certain averis? How do I go ahead and make tshuva? I don't have the to make big steps. And that is a famous, I say it every year, the famous Navaritic Mashal of the train over the bridge. Navaritic Mashal is you have a heavy train and it has to get over this skinny little bridge, which is very weak. And the bridge, if the train goes on the bridge will collapse. So how do you get across? So the Mashal is you roar up the engine and then you zoom across the bridge. And by the time you get to the bridge doesn't collapse until after you get to the other side. And the beauty is that when after you get to the other side, the bridge collapses, and then you're stuck there. So the mashal would be if a guy, for example, let's say a guy has a problem, a serious problem, he goes home, Bein Hazmanim, and he watches on a computer, whatever, things that aren't kosher. So what do? That's a big problem. So you don't want to make a 20-year plan. You want to solve it immediately, right? You don't want to wait 20 years to solve the problem. You definitely prefer solving it immediately. So you get your engine roared up, and then you do something which solves the problem, and that's it. You break the bridge. What could you do? You could take your computer and throw it out the window, right? And like this guy was supposed to do with his books. And the odds are that if you throw your computer out, you're not going to buy a new one. You could tell your parents, to put a filter on. Well, that's so embarrassing. Okay, so that's where you roar up your engine and tell your parents. You can tell Rabbi Begida, put a filter, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, you have to figure out a way that you can solve the problem. So even though it takes a lot of guts, it's very hard to do, but there are certain things, once you do it, it's done. Right? If you take your computer and you throw it out, it's done. If your guy theoretically has a girlfriend, which I'm sure no one here has, and you tell her to go jump in the lake, and you know, I don't want to ever see you again because you're hurting my ruchnias, then hopefully if she's a mensch, she won't see you again because you convinced her, you told her, you're hurting my ruchnias. And if she does come back to you anyway, then you don't even want to see her because you see what a bum she is, right? So, and same thing, you know, if you have a friend that's bad for your ruchnias, you tell the friend, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. Goodbye. Right? You know, you get yourself roared up and you do something and then you're stuck. If you want to learn after Seder, you commit yourself to a chavrusa and he's going to hold you to it. So then you're stuck. You know, sometimes it depends who your chavrusa is, but some chavrusas you can be really stuck with. Right? So there's...
Does that apply to everything?
It depends. It doesn't necessarily apply to everything, but it's very hard. It's hard to figure out applications in most things. I have a problem. I don't speak English in her. What am I going to do? I'm going to cut out my tongue? You know, like, I don't know what to do. But certain things, you can do it. Yeah, it takes a lot of also thinking. And certain things you can do, and the advantage is that if you do it, you get succeed immediately because you get yourself worked up, you roar up your engine, and then you do it, and then it's done. Finish. End of story. No design anymore because there's nothing to talk about. It's done already. Right? Anyway, which brings me to my last topic, which I wanted to talk about, and that is smartphones. The yeshiva has a policy, a rule, that we don't allow smartphones. Now, as everyone in the yeshiva knows, the yeshiva has lots of rules. And many of the rules are not, you know, I don't want to say are not meant to be kept, but that's sort of the way rules are, you know? You have to be here for In Shabbosim. Oh, okay. Right. So there are certain rules that, even though there are rules, but, you know, okay, it means, you know, sort of, you try, whatever. And there are certain rules that the yeshiva takes seriously. I mean, not they take all rules seriously, but more seriously than others. We happen to take the smartphone rule very seriously. Why? Because having a smartphone is a serious problem. First of all, there's a lot of preachers on smartphones. I don't own a smartphone, so I can't tell you. But that's what they say, that there's potential for a lot of preachers. Second of all, there is tremendous batoa, because it's, you know, in order to learn basmada, if you have easy things that are tempting you, you're less likely to learn basmada. Part of the trick to get yourself to learn basmada is getting rid of all your distractions. But if you have your distraction in your pocket, so it's very hard to learn when there's an obvious distraction. What if the guy says, listen, I know myself, I can trust myself, I'm not going to look at the preachers. And the batala also, I can trust myself. So first of all, those who we went in the summer to Rav Sadka, and what did he say? Anyone remember? He said that there's a Gemara in Baba Basra that says that if there are women washing their clothes by the river, and because they're washing their clothes, they have to bend down, and their dress goes up, or they have to dress up because it's by the water. So a person who walks by and doesn't look, because he doesn't look because he doesn't want to see the women not dressed neistically. So the Gemara says he's a Rasha. Why is he a Rasha? He didn't look. Says the Gemara, because he trusted himself. Why does he put himself in an Isayin? You know, so I said, if there's no other Derech, then it's okay. But if there's another Derech, you have no right to put yourself in Isayin. So Rav Sadka said that you have a smartphone and you don't look at anything, not sneers, but you don't need this smartphone. So in his opinion, it's the same gather. You're putting yourself, you're showing a lack of Yiras Shamayim. Because why are you putting yourself in these sayim? So that, but let's assume, let's even take all the assumptions. Let's say it's in the gather of Lekka Dark Achrina. I mamish need it. And it's like Lekka Dark Achrina, and I can trust myself that I won't be nichshol, and I won't be nichshol. Right? So then you're allowed to walk by the place where the women are dressed, right? If it's Lekka Dark Achrina, you're allowed to walk there. Just make sure you don't look. So even there, I would say that let's say you mamish need it. Guy needs it for, I don't know why he needs it, but he needs it. There's some special reason why he needs it. At least what you should do is you should hide it. Because if you need something which is not kosher, so first of all, you should be embarrassed. Right? If I need to run in the street naked, I don't do it when everyone's looking. I'm embarrassed, right? A person should feel embarrassed. If I have to walk into a movie house or I have to go eat non-kosher food because of my health problems, I don't do it in the middle of the Beis Medrash, right? I'm embarrassed, right? My doctor tells me I have to eat pig meat for my blood sugar, whatever. There are people that have to eat things that aren't kosher. But you don't do it in front of other people. It's embarrassing. Why is it embarrassing? I have to do it. It's the right thing for me to do. I don't know. It's a hard gosha. It's still embarrassing. Right? So first of all, you shouldn't do it in front of other people because you should be embarrassed. Second of all, you shouldn't do it in front of other people. More of a reason, because you're being chayteh u'machteh the rabbim. Because let's say you can trust yourself and you need it, and you got a good explanation, but the other guy doesn't need it and doesn't have a good explanation, but he's going to say, oh, you have it, so why can't I have it? And especially a high school kid, right? If a high school kid sees that Beis Medrash guys have smartphones, then they're going to say, well, if a Beis Medrash guy can get a smartphone, why can't I have a smartphone? He's not going to start, well, he's a tzaddik and he's not looking at anything. He's not going to say that. So, and when you have a smartphone and you use it in public and the high school kids see you using it, I really think you're being matched. So even if you're, for some reason, you paskin that you should have a smartphone, and yet say you're right, don't do it in public, please. The yeshiva in public should be drug-free environment, right? We are supposed to be a drug-free environment, right? So what if a guy needs marijuana medical marijuana, right? There's such a thing, medical marijuana. So you don't smoke it in the dormitory, right? Even if you need medical marijuana, there's a valid, you got a doctor's prescription, and you need it, and it's the right thing to do, and you called Ramosha Feinstein, and he paskined. I know that's a little, that's on the marijuana, you were able to do that, to call Ramosha. And you got a psak that you can take it. You don't do it in the dormitory. You take your marijuana, and you do it where no one sees you. So that's a very good kabbalah too. And we really should have, the yeshiva should be a makom kaddish. We should be a feeling. And if you see other people, and if you see high school kids with their smartphones, you should tell them that, you know, we don't do this here. And not only that, you should snitch on them. And you see your high school kid.
Is that the high school kid?
I don't know. We'll start with a high school kid. You see a high school kid, you tell Rabbi Deitch that, you know, that so-and-so has a smartphone. He doesn't have to know who told on him, because you're helping the guy. You're not hurting. People don't want to be, I should be a snitch. You're helping the guy. The odds are 9 out of 10, and not probably more than that, 99.9 out of 10, you know, little bit higher odds than that too, that this high school kid who has a smartphone is doing all kinds of things that he shouldn't be doing with that smartphone. And the best thing for him is to get rid of it. Right? So if you go ahead and tell Rabbi Dietrich that he has a smartphone, and Rabbi Dietrich will get him to get, he won't tell him that, oh, so-and-so told me you have a smartphone, because Rabbi Dietrich is smarter than that. Right? He'll just go ahead and he'll find in himself in the guy's dorm room. And he said, oh, you know, I just happened to be in your room and notice a smartphone. What's that doing there? Oh, it's not yours. Oh, yeah, that's, I figured as much. Okay, yeah, because I just took it on and threw it out, you know. You know? Anyway, I don't know. He's very smart, Rabbi Dietrich. Other people are very smart, too. He's not going to go ahead and tell them that you told, because they're not so stupid to do that. Obviously, that would ruin the relationship. But you're helping the kid. You're helping people. And you have to know that it's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, but we should have that in the yeshiva. We should really, I think it's a very important kabbalah that we should have, that in general, I don't think people should have. But if the guy who's going to figure out the heter, why he can have, please keep it private. I think that's very important. That, just like, you know, if you have, you know, they used to have a rule, I don't know if they still have, if you're listening to music, you have to have earphones. You know, you want to listen to your geisha music. We don't listen to geisha music in the yeshiva, officially. Now, the guy, he needs to listen to geisha music, because Jewish music's no good, you know. It's just no good. It just doesn't have the right beat. It's not, just doesn't do it. And I need my music. I'm addicted to music. And just music just isn't good enough. So I have to listen to the geisha music. What can I do? It's Yehari Gayaver, because otherwise I'll die from lack of music. So so you do it with earphones. You don't listen before Hesya, you know. Even if you come up with a good spirit, why you need it? You don't, you know, you begin because you're embarrassed and you don't want to be machshu other people. So the same thing should be with smartphones, please. Guys, I really don't think you should have. Guys should get over the bridge, make up their mind, smash it with a hammer, if not smash a hammer, send it back to New York or whatever. So you do a maisa. If you come back to Florida without it, you did a maisa. Now you're stuck. It's like the Navardic mushel. You cross the bridge. You pass the Nisayan one time, and then it's over. It's an amazing thing. It's much easier. If you have it, every day you have a Nisayan. Should I look at something not kosher or not? But if you don't have it, it's no Nisayanis. It's a Machaya. So the best thing is not to have it. But Lu Yitzur, someone goes ahead, and I don't know, you know, because you got to know the guy. So at least hide it. Okay.
Going over Rav Tzadok said, assuming someone has, let's say someone has a filter, and assuming you can't get around the filter, that gets around the Ikadak Akhrida.
Okay, maybe, but it doesn't get around the
Maybe Nicar Russia?
I don't know. Maybe not. No. Well, I don't like calling people Rishon. That's not our dad. We don't call people Rishon. But it doesn't get along being macho, the other person, because no one knows whether you have your filter, and it all looks the same. And people see you having a smartphone, and they say, you have a smartphone, I can have a smartphone. And there's also, even with the filter, there's a lot of batoa. So the svar that's causing batoa of learning is still there. Because I assume there's a reason why you have it, because it gives you other things. Okay, anyway, so I still don't think, even with the filter, I don't think it's a good thing. But it's also macho people, because, you know, people will just assume that you're doing it, and then they'll do it. And then you undermine the whole yeshiva, because then everyone will do it.